Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Tuning in to Chaos Culture Radio. Dropping knowledge in the studio, you already know.
On behalf of Chaos Culture Radio, we'd like to thank you for coming on the show to talk about the housing market. How can people get into a house? How can people be able to afford for a house? What are the guidelines and everything? So we really thank you for your time for being on
Queen.
The show.
Really Queen. From the bottom of my heart, baby, you just don't know what it means for us for you to come on our show. You know what I'm saying?
Aw, thank you.
You know what I mean? Like, because there's some other realtors that be acting stank. You know what I'm saying? I ain't going to mention no name because I don't want to say this to this, but Crosby's the best realtor in Florida. I'm hating now. But
I was trying to share a link to my page. It's not sharing, but
it's okay.
No, it should be able to share. It's not sharing.
It's sharing.
No, it's not.
We're broadcasting on all network. You need a YouTube link?
1000 loot on YouTube link.
Oh no, I figured it out. I'm gonna do a screenshot and then add the link.
I've been on your page. You seem like you got a very bubbly attitude.
I do.
I like that, though. I like that. You seem like, I like that. So, hold on. Let's get to the particulars. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Chaos.
Wait. Before you do that, I don't want to look like I'm not paying attention. Let me post this on my story.
You can still do your thing.
Don't worry. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Chaos Culture Radio. I'm back again with some of my friends and a new one. We have a special guest for you. I'm going to let Ron introduce her. But this is Prince Akeem.
This is your man, Ronnie Ron.
It's your boy, New Jordan. Let's go. Let's get it. Let's go.
Am I introducing myself?
No, wrong.
No, but this one right here, I want to give a shout out to Shotwell. She was on our show last week.
Miss Shotwell,
who's on the podcast today.
Shotwell.
So when she posted, I was like, wait a minute. I said, Miss Shotwell, I want to ask you a question. Who is your friend? I know she does real estate. She's like, yeah, that's a friend. You can reach out to her because I want to bring her on the show.
Hey.
And because she does real estate. So when I saw the opportunity, I responded to Miss Roslyn, Miss Brown. And I'm like, I respond to her and I'm like, hey, I want you to come on the show because, as you know, right now people are dealing with a lot of the housing crash. People want to know how can they get in a home. People want to understand like what's going on because people think we're going into recession. So people want to know what is the best way for them to get in a home, even though we might be.
Definitely.
We have an expert here who is Miss Brown on the show, and I want her to just introduce herself and we're about to go in.
Well, I am Roslyn Brown, known as Roz the Realtor. I've been licensed for about 5 years, but I have been full-time only 3 years. The way I actually fell into real estate, like full-time, was I lost my daughter in 2016, and I was just trying to figure out life, you know.
The Jada Project, you've been running that? Yeah,
I've been watching. I have a summer camp in honor of my daughter. She was killed in a drive-by. So, you know, just trying to figure out life and not knowing whether I was coming or going. And I had my real estate license and I'm like, I wonder what I could do with this. Like, I probably could do something with this, but still not knowing what I was going to do. So I ended up selling life insurance. FYI, I have a degree from Florida A&M University.
Rattlers.
I am a biology pre-med major. But after doing 4 years, I just kind of didn't want to do that anymore. And then after, like I said, after I lost my daughter, me just trying to, you know, figure out whether I was coming or going before her passing, not to be wishy-washy. Before her passing, I actually had started a preschool. I actually opened it that Monday and she was killed that Sunday. Yeah. So it was like, you know, God, I guess kids, isn't it? Because there's no way this is what you want me to do every day, you know, to be around kids and, you know, using my life savings to be able to open up this preschool and losing it, not losing it, but walking away from it 7 days later. So I started selling life insurance. That was cool, but it turned into something. It just became depressing. It was like, you know, it's like a job that paid well, but you were very unhappy. So that's kind of where I was at, because every day I'm talking about death. And it's like, that can't be my story. Like, this can't be what it is for me. Like, it pays the, this ain't what I want to do. So it was something that within me, I actually met my broker who were at a round table. Everybody was just introducing themselves. And I have a book bag line in honor of my daughter. Jada Page, if you go to jadapage.com, the book bags are there. But needless to say, I have a book bag line in honor of my daughter. So I went to this round table, just kind of like trying to advertise the book bags, but I still had my real estate license. And it was a realtor at the table. And she said, you know, she introduced herself and just with so much poise and confidence, she introduced herself as a realtor. And I'm like, hey. So I humbled myself and I reached out to her and I went on Instagram actually, and I saw she had sold 50 houses. And I'm like, dang, what did she do to sell 50 houses? Because I'm lucky if I sell 2 a year. So I reached out to her and I really thought, you know, as an African-American woman, it would be a crab in a bucket mentality. And it actually wasn't. She poured so much into me. She said, why don't you come over here and work with me? And I cold turkey just stopped selling life insurance and I went into real estate. I don't know why. I know a part of me was kind of just like, you know, just trying to figure out whether I didn't know whether I was coming to go. I didn't know what to do, right? So it's just like, I said, you know what? I don't like selling life insurance. It's depressing. And I felt like if I got to be here and I got to live this life, then I'm going to do it on my terms. So I'm about to go out here and try this real estate thing. Went out there, got with her at the end of 2018. And she basically mentored me, and I went from selling 2 houses in 2018 to 2019, I was able to sell 21 houses. So when I sat back and was like, she sold 50 houses, I can say today that I probably sold over 75. I don't know why I'm not keeping count, but I'm probably at 100. But needed to say, when I got this podcast, we'll do a count. But anyway, I feel like I found my calling in that. Even with that, I was talking to I went to go see one of the people that I helped get into a home. And she just basically was like, thank you so much. Like, you helped my dream come true. And it was a lot of times after losing my daughter where I felt like I just didn't want to live. I would get up in the morning, even as I was doing real estate, like, God, why am I still here? Like, I don't want to be here. Why you didn't take me when you took her? Like, these are the questions when I opened my eyes in the morning. So I was like, when that lady said that, I kind of was like, oh, okay, God, I get it. Like, you wanted me here to be able to basically be a vessel to help people obtain home ownership, you know, because so many people feel like they can't, especially people that look like me and you. Like, it's not that hard, but we make it out to be this big monster that we can't take down, you know. And even with my brokerage, the way that I was introduced into, you know, selling so many houses is we created a platform where, you know, you don't have to be ready now. You can be ready in 3 months, 6 months, 12 months. Like, we're going to go through the process with you. We do a buyer consultation where you have the lender on the call. And we pretty much give you the rundown on what it takes to purchase the home. Like, by the end of this hour-long call, I always say, you have any questions? And people will be like, no. Like, they're like, oh. Like, I've had people that come with a list of questions and be like, you answered everything. So it's like, it's different from a realtor just running your credit and just saying, okay, let's go look for a house. There's steps in this process. So, you know, us being able to provide that service, making people feel comfortable, you know, and they actually be knowledgeable about the process, not just getting in the house like, okay, what's next? What am I doing? Right? So we teach you about taxes. We teach you about homestead exemption. We teach you about all these things when you're purchasing a home. So with that lady telling me that, I helped her accomplish her dream, like, for me, it's just kind of like, oh, okay. So I feel like I found my purpose in life. I love what I do. I'm not only a realtor, I'm also an investor. I fix and flip properties. And yeah, that's me in a nutshell. I have 2 additional children. And just making sure that I keep my daughter's memory alive, still remain a mother to them. I'm a mother first and a realtor immediately after. So that's me.
I'm not gonna lie, what you're saying is very powerful and very inspiring, because you're nonstop, you're a go-getter, like the Holy Spirit. Right. You know? that's a powerful thing. That's a powerful, powerful story. And I always feel your daughter as well. You know, my question to you today is, what do you think, what is the reason why people like African-American, Black people are afraid to purchase a home?
because it seems like right now it's been, we are at an all-time low when it comes to purchasing a home, and it seems like our other counterparts are purchasing a home on a higher rate. So what is stopping us?
That is a lack of knowledge. Like, so many of us have didn't see people before us purchase, whether it be a mother or a grandmother. Like, they didn't see it happen. So half of the people are, you know, we aren't financial literacy. So when it comes to saving and doing what you need in order to purchase a home, and then lack of knowledge, I think those are the two biggest reasons why our community is not purchasing the way that they should.
Go ahead, brother.
I want to talk about, you know, it looks like we don't know that we're going to a recession. And I know that, you know, there are some people thinking maybe they want to stand back maybe a year or two or buying a house. What will you say to those people, you know, if they want to purchase a house, even though, the recession is coming, what will you say to somebody who's really eager to purchase a house maybe this year, if they really want to purchase a house?
So that's a loaded question, right? So First, I'll start with not always the best time to sell, but it's always the best time to buy, right? Because regardless, you're paying somebody's mortgage. May not be yours, but you're paying somebody's mortgage. You look at it, and right now, like, rent is insane. Like, I know before all of this stuff happened, it was like, okay, I could pay $1,500 for rent, but you want me to go pay $2,000 for mortgage, right? No, right now, a 3-2, you need at least $3,000 a month. $3,000 a month will get you a $400,000 house, right? So it's like, as far as at the end of the day, it's all about building equity. I got people that I sold a house a year ago, 2 years ago, and they have $100,000 in equity, $50,000 in equity. What can we do with that equity? We can leverage. You know, you hear people talk about, you know, don't buy real estate, but then you don't have any money to leverage. I always reflect back on this post, and it's common sense, but just looking at it, I was like, see what I'm talking about? This lady said that her friend, the family had a family emergency. They needed like $75,000. Nobody had any money. She says to her friend, because I guess her friend was venting to her, she said, hey, you don't got no equity in your house? And she said, you know what? Let me go check. She was able to pull out $100,000. And that's just all paying for where she lived. You got to pay for where you live. Unless you're living with your parents, like, you have to pay to live, right? So, and as far as like feeling like it's going to be a recession, I don't feel like we're going to go into a recession. The reason what happened in 2006 happened was because they were giving out subprime loans, no doc loans, which basically means you could work at McDonald's and say, I make $100,000, and they was going for that, right? So then now when everything, the bubble burst, a lot of people lost their properties. They had properties that they couldn't afford. They are so strict about lending now. Like, those things don't exist anymore. So the chances of us going into a recession, what I do think is the market is going to soften, right? And what I mean, like, where people were, it's softening now. So what I mean, whereas people were pricing their houses $100,000 more than what it's worth, they sit on the market. People want to buy the house for what it's worth, right? So, and then my ideology, I tell people, you know how people always say, like, we are our ancestors' wildest dreams, right? Minimum wage used to be a dollar, you know, like, everything has to progress. And I feel like we're in the midst of that progression. Like, how our parents, you'll say, oh, my granddaddy bought a house for $80,000. That don't exist anymore, right? But at some point, it had to continue to move and jump. Our grandparents probably look at us like, y'all paying $400,000 for a house? My aunt, as a matter of fact, bought a house in, I want to say 2000. We were in high school. Probably the 90s, whatever. New build in Pembroke Pines. She paid $200,000 for a 6-bedroom. I think it got 4 bathrooms. 6-bedroom, 4 bath. That doesn't exist in 2000. And I mean, brand new construction. That doesn't exist in 2020. We have to evolve. And I feel like we're in the midst of evolving and people are just not seeing it. It's like we're spoiled. And I think it goes back to social media. It goes back to everything that's happening around us. Even like people are saying, oh, interest rates are high. Interest rates are not high. Rent rates are at their norm. I bought my house 3 years ago, and my interest rate is not too far from what the interest rates look like right now. But guess what? In 2020, 2021, we got spoiled to 2% interest rates. That was record breaking, which means chances are it's not going to happen again. But now everybody's talking about, oh my God, I'm not buying because interest rates too high. These are normal interest rates. It's just y'all looking at what happened over the last 2 years in the midst of a pandemic, like. It's an endemic now. Like, it's not the same. And they got to make up for what happened in the last 2 years. So I mean, and I read an article yesterday that talked about, you know, the only problem is because the prices are so much higher now, it's making it harder for entry level homeowners. So what I used to tell people, you know, start here and then go here. That start here is at like 300,000, 400,000. So it does make it a little harder. You do need a partner, you know, to qualify most of the time. Our teachers can't afford, you know, the amount of house. We have a $25,000 program right now that's supposed to be for teachers and police officers. I had a teacher I had to pre-approve for $300,000. She's like, well, can I just get a condo? Right? So, you know, the system is messed up, but I don't think that we're going to run into a recession. And if we do, it'll be 10 years. Because right now they're trying to make up for it. So now the people that are going to eat are people that are building houses, building affordable houses. Because guess what? The government going to get the money to do that. It's all a game, right? So that people can come in and now, oh, we're helping the economy, right? Because the supply and the demand is not there. The supply is not there for the demand. Especially after what happened over the last 10 years. So now they're just trying to fix 2 years. I'm sorry. Now they're just trying to fix it. But I don't think we're going to be in a recession. They're just going to roll out more programs to make it right.
No. That was a great point. I want to ask you something.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
I know you see what's going on in Miami. And I want to get your opinion about this, because we've talked about this on the podcast. Do you think what happened in the last 2 years, plus the, I don't know if it's called a moratorium, what it's called, where they had paused the rent for a while?
Oh, the moratorium. Don't make me say it. I know exactly what you're talking about.
The moratorium. Moratorium. Do you think the rent increases were all a contributing factor to people crying now for the way the rent is increasing?
Say that one more time. Say it again.
I said, do you think all this is a contributing factor to the rent increase in Miami?
Because of the freezing the rent?
Yeah.
No, because first of all, again, bailout. They have programs right now. Our Florida is paying landlords for a year, 2 years. Like, there's programs out there to fix that. The rent increase is because of the housing market. So houses are worth more. My rent should be more. So they're just trying to system, and it's working.
Also, the reason why it's an increase because the housing market. So the housing market is up. That's why they're increasing the rent.
Yeah,
more.
It's supply and demand.
Yeah.
Because guess what? You're not gonna want to buy because the mortgage is so high. So come rent. But guess what? We're gonna increase the rent too. But it's easier to rent than it is to buy.
Yeah.
Facts.
So what advice would you give to people who, you know what I mean? Because you have a lot of naysayers out there, like, oh, not everybody's supposed to buy a house. Or, you know what I mean, some people are just flushing their money down the drain, just renting. But then you did have a point when you said education, but what would you think would be the starting point for somebody who probably living at their mama house, want to get their own place? What should be their starting point to in the beginning?
Well, first of all, you mean in order to purchase?
Yeah, in order to purchase, yeah.
So there's three things my lender always says: credit, income, and assets. So you got to have some income. I'm not going to lie. To get a decent house, you need to somehow be making like $80,000, right?
Ooh, Lord Jesus.
I'm going to be honest, because
you counting half a, you just flushed down half a day.
Yeah, not only that, but the average black man only make $40,000 a year.
$40,000? Average. Y'all heard what she said. Free game.
Nobody can tell me.
I'll tell you this, I live in a two house.
I know
she's
being
real.
She's
right. You right.
I just feel like
black man don't make enough.
You gotta level up.
Yeah.
You gotta move north. I'm gonna be honest. Like, that's just what it is. Because if you make $50,000, right, you're gonna qualify for about 270, 250. I don't know if you guys are watching the market.
Yeah, no.
That's not. That's no longer a house.
No.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
a fit. 270 is a fixer upper.
That's not even a townhouse anymore.
Yeah.
No. Especially in Miami. No.
Right. But the catch 22 to it all that we weren't dealing with before is rent costs the same.
Yeah. Yeah.
I told you, if you go buy a $400,000 house, in order to qualify for a $400,000 house, you got to be making $100,000. A $400,000 house is going to cost you $3,000 a month.
Yep.
A 3-2 right now in this market is $3,000 a month.
Facts.
So it's kind of pick your evil. Pick your,
yeah.
you know, like it's a double-edged sword.
And they want you to have 10 times the rent.
I was going to ask you, is it better to have two form of income in the aspect of should black men get married more than ever before so we be able to afford these houses? Or do you think it's better to go in single?
Come on.
I'm not going to say marry anybody to buy a house.
No, why? No.
That's like a recipe for disaster.
No, it's not, Ross.
Yes, no. You're going to marry for love. But what I will say, though, they're house hacks, right? So one of the things where if you get an FHA loan, you can purchase up to a 4-unit, right? So you can live in one and rent out the other 3, right? But the catch with all of this is if you make $50,000, right, if you can find a duplex. But if you make $50,000, they're going to take the income from that other unit or the other third unit or the fourth. Like if you got rent coming off 3 units, they're going to use the rent of all 3 units times 12 months and add that to your income. So where you probably only made enough to afford $200,000, you actually can afford $400,000 if you buy a triplex or a fourplex or a duplex because they're making that, they're counting that as your income. So that's the easiest way, right?
I like
and
that.
And then now, if you now, technically, if you move out, you have 4 rental units. So when you want to go buy a big boy house or another duplex, you have it because guess what? I got the income of 4 rents plus what I make on my job or in my business, right? So now I can go buy that bigger house. And the money from this duplex is going to help me pay for my bigger house, the triplex or fourplex, whatever it is. So to me, I think that's the best strategy. I just sold my best friend a fourplex. She's receiving rent times 4.
Wow.
And her qualification was not on a $500,000 fourplex, but she got the income. They give you the income from those other units and count it as income for yourself.
Nice.
So you really don't have to be making $80,000 or $100,000. Nice. And all you need is a 620 credit score on a job or income, not a job.
Job
income and 3.5% down. So
okay, now, what about the work history?
2 years of work history does not have to be the same job. So I was just talking about. I just had a client. I just got on the phone with. As soon as I got on this thing, she been working at Wendy's for 14 years. She went and got a second job. The problem is you can't have. She went and got a second job to be able to get more income. But the thing about it is she's been at Wendy's for 14 years, but she needed more money. So now she has to quit Wendy's and say, this is my new job.
Oh, really? Mm-hmm. But why is that? Why does she have to quit Wendy's to get the program or to get the home?
To qualify, because you have to have 2 years worth of work history, right? But if you got 2 years worth of work history on one job, the other one doesn't count unless you got 2 years over there.
Mm-hmm.
But you can go from... Hey, I was working at Wendy's, but McDonald's just said they're going to take me on as a manager for $100,000 and switch over to McDonald's and you qualify.
Okay.
You could have been at McDonald's. You don't even have to have worked at McDonald's. You can have a job letter that says McDonald's is guaranteeing me a job at $100,000 starting next month.
So was she making $80,000 to buy a house?
No, but she's just single. But her biggest thing was I need to make more money because small is still almost $300,000. because it's like even when those houses exist at 200 and 250 and when they exist, like I saw one today that I'm like, oh my God, this would be perfect for my client, but you gotta have some money, right? So because these people, we get outbidded by those people that don't look like us, so they coming in saying I'm gonna pay $20,000. I sold a property to somebody and they paid $65,000 over appraised value, which means they went into this property with negative $65,000 equity, but they wanted that cash. Which means if they down payment and closing costs was $50,000, they came in with an additional $65,000.
Yeah.
So that's how bad they want it out here. And the people that got money like that don't look like us. So it goes back to what are you doing to make money? A job sometimes isn't enough. Nothing. You know, what side hustles do you have? What are you doing? Because in this life, in this industry right now, you got to level up, you know, or maybe become an investor first. Maybe do wholesaling, maybe do flipping. Like, there's so many ways that you can get into this real estate game and make a lot of money. So, yeah.
When you said $80,000, I almost damn near cried.
Let me tell you this. He has a great point because I live in Los Angeles. So the housing market is a whole different animal over here.
It's crazy.
So you have to make, if, like I said, for me, it's hopefully in the future, you know, me and my wife are going to buy a house here. We're going to make it happen. You know, Right. Basically, I want to start my vending machines. You know, I'm working. She has some side business of Dolphins and everything. But this is what I'm hearing. Let's say if I want to buy a house like in Baldwin, Ladera Heights, we have to make at least $300,000 to be in that situation to do that. And I told my wife that, and she was like, wow. But for me and her, it's like, you know what? We can do this. Between 3 to 5 years, that's our plan to buy a house. So we're planning on it, and that's what we're trying to do.
Right. So listen, you in a market where the real estate is crazy.
Yeah.
Los Angeles, New York, like, and the thing about it is people coming from those places that got money. So that's what's pushing us out. Because technically what we want is chips compared to what they have. So you know what? Before I spend $1 million in New York, I'm going to go to Miami and spend $500,000, right? And they got it, and it's no pressure.
Yeah.
So those are the ones buying the houses. The people coming from other places that say their real estate is too expensive. Well, we like, our real estate is too expensive. No, theirs is too expensive.
You're hitting hard points, and I hope y'all listening, man. She's giving out free game. I do want to touch on something you said earlier where you said it's either you're going to have to move up north. Sometimes that's not the best idea because the jobs is not up north.
Do you think?
Because you know, here in Miami, you hear most people say they're even gonna go to Orlando or Tampa.
Yeah, but you got Port St. Lucie, you got Orlando, you got
Tampa. Or, you know, Port.
They ain't got no jobs though.
Ain't no jobs like Miami jobs in Port St. Lucie.
Yeah, but at the same time, if you can't survive on what you make in Miami, it's going to force a lot of people out. Honestly. Yeah. It's going to force a lot of people out. A lot of people was fleeing to Atlanta, but Atlanta is leveling up like us.
Oh, my God.
So it's going to force a lot of people out. Guess what? The people that's going to make the money is the people that's going and building the houses in these places that's considered rural, right? And, like, creating new opportunities for people to purchase homes. Yes. Like, I sold a house in this neighborhood called Ave Marie. It's in the middle of nowhere. It's in Naples. It's like an hour or two from here.
Oh yeah, not too far from Fort Myers.
Listen, you can get a 5-bedroom, 3-bath for like $300,000.
That's not bad.
Exactly. But it's in the middle of nowhere. They have their own hospital. They have their own Publix. They have their own college. Like, it's outside of it. Once you drive outside of it, it will probably take you 10 minutes. You see nothing but grass, no street lights, no nothing. And it takes you like 15 to 20 minutes to get to 75 and get back home. So, I mean, the person I sold that house to, he works at Fort Lauderdale Airport. He takes the commute every day.
To drive all the way from here to over there?
From Naples to Fort Lauderdale. He said he put himself on a 4-day schedule, though, so he only has to do it 4 days out of the week. But I mean, they got a big house. And they bought theirs for 200 and something thousand, like 240. Right now it's worth 3-something. But like to know that right now it's still only worth 3-something. And in our market, you say 3-something, you look like, what is this? And even if it's a nice house, you're in a bidding war. Mm. So you got to come with your A-game. But, you know, they have tools out there. They have resources. They have money that they give out. They have the city funds. They have right now they have one called the Hometown Heroes that I'm trying to get people to get in. It's only because our community does not like to save. The financial literacy is not there, right? But it's also the credit, too. Because if you don't have the credit score, because even if you can get a loan with a 580 credit score, but the problem with that is your interest rate is going to be insanely high. So where I said your mortgage would be $3,000 on a $400,000 house, you're looking at like $3,500, right? So, I mean, it's just so many factors. It's not to discourage anybody. It's just like, it's time to level up. It's 2022. The world is not waiting on anybody. Like, you know, we just got to do better as a culture, you know?
Well, save money. Well, my credit. question
Well, my question is, what about the single mothers? Like the single mother that is right now, one that's a single mother that is right now trying to purchase a home, but she's having a hard time. So what advice can you give her, a single mother?
You got to leverage. Like that's, if you're a single mother, I suggest, like I said, the duplex, triplex, fourplex option. You don't make enough money for a single family home, do that. Because now you, and then on top of that, if you do it that route, you're actually creating generational wealth. Because in the event that something happens to you, your kids have multiple income because it's from each door, right? So, you know, whatever strategy it takes, my suggestion is go out there and figure it out. Even if you got to start small, maybe it's something that you don't like, or maybe something that needs renovation with the FHA 203K loan. They'll give you money to renovate, right? So, you know, don't count yourself out. Oh, I'm a single mother. I don't make enough for that. Most of these companies give out money. People don't know Publix gives you $20,000 to purchase a home. You know, there's so many different strategies in order to do it. Maybe you can't live in Miramar and Pembroke Pines and in Miami Gardens. You got to pick another city, Hollandale, Hollywood, like start somewhere. Don't just discount yourself and say, oh, I don't make enough money. I'm just rent. Because you're in the same situation. Because if you can afford that high rent, you can afford this mortgage.
Mm, nice.
And they have it where these programs are stackable. So Miami-Dade has one called MD. I think it's like $50,000, something like that. But you can take that and go get another program and put another 10 on top of that. And then put another, like, you can stack these programs. So say your pre-approval starts out at $200,000. You can quickly get to $300,000 because you're going to stack this money. But the problem with that is you got to have some money as far as down payment and closing costs, because this money is meant for down payment and closing costs. But if you say, okay, I'm not going to make it my down payment and closing costs, I'm going to make my pre-approval more because now I have, I don't know, an additional $100,000 because I got some from this city, I got some from here, and you're able to do it. Like I have mentees, and I had somebody pre-approved for 230, and they was like, uh-uh. I'm like, no, you got to be a problem solver. You have to be strategic. Listen, okay, you were only approved for 230, but let's go get this program where we can put this money on top of that. So now let's get you to 300. At least at 300, I know I can find you something. It's not going to be a dream home, but I can find you a start. And again, you leverage, because I always tell people about how my sister, she bought a house in Miami Gardens, and she did not want to live in Miami Gardens. Her dream was Miramar Pembroke Pines. She stayed there for exactly.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
4 years. She was able to net 6 figures when it was time to go. She said, I'm ready to buy my house. She sold that house and moved on and got her big two-story house that she wanted in Miramar Pembroke Pines. Leverage and having a plan. I'm not going to be here forever, you know? But when the time is right, because you pay rent, if you pay $1,000 a month, you do that for 12 months, which is not $1,000 a month. You spent $12,000 that you can never get back in no way, shape, or form. And if they want to put you out, they can.
Mm. Well, what's your thoughts on Airbnb?
I love it. Just opened up my first Airbnb April 8th. Yes, I've been looking every weekend. Thank you. I feel like it's a good investment. And maybe if you start that way, because honestly, the Airbnb I bought, I wouldn't live there. But it's close to this, it's close to that. Like, it works. So I'm like, you know, I do think with Airbnb, it's all about location. I do feel like that's the biggest thing, making sure you're in prime location for, I don't know, maybe a beach, maybe a stadium, like I'm directly across the street from Hard Rock Stadium. So they have the football games, they have the concerts. We got Rolling Loud coming next week. I put it at $1,000 a night, and the people I'm trying to figure out which one I want to pick, you know? So it's like, and that's nowhere near what I regularly charge, right? But, you know, another way to invest in real estate, that's what I'm saying, like, figure out your way to either level up to invest in real estate. You know, I hear people say that they rent properties, right? So I rent the property that you own, and then I Airbnb it out. Guess what? That's part of my plan to take my money from my Airbnb and then go buy me a house. Like, whatever it is, come up with a plan. Don't be stagnant, right? If you want better, you got to do better. Yeah. So.
Yo, what's that, BJ?
That's her. She's a busy woman.
My text messages. I didn't know y'all could hear that. I'm sorry.
I thought my head was ringing for some reason.
He's getting out the gyms. People like, yo, I gotta hit her up. So you don't, but you give me some great information.
Roz B, go ahead, brother.
No, because she mentioned Airbnb. I was gonna ask her, do you think that's a route that especially Black people should go in? And that form a route to create generational wealth.
The Airbnb. I figure like if you're purchasing, it's like you're purchasing an investment property. Because if you don't want an Airbnb, you can rent it out. I feel like it's a means to an end. It's additional income. So if you are just renting it temporarily, I don't like the idea of renting it. And that's just me because I got a sour taste in my mouth because I rented a house that I was living in, and I said I'm not moving until I buy my house. The lady came to the house. They had never seen the house. They were foreign buyers. And you went through property manager to get it. She called me and said, hey, can I come see the house? I'm like, cool. You know, my lease was getting ready to expire, but it's like, you don't live here. You're not trying to get the house. Like, come look it out. Come check it out. You know, because they had never saw the house. And I get a message in like 2 weeks of her leaving. Hey, you know, we're moving back to the States and we want our house. At that point, that's why I'm biased. Where I feel like I will never let somebody put me in that situation again. So for me, I like people call me and say they want to do recovery houses. They want to do group homes. Like, hey, by all means, do you. But I just don't believe in building a business inside of something that belongs to someone else. They can put you out. They can increase the rent. They can. Like, your business is now in their hands. But again, if it's temporary, if you got a plan, like somebody told me they want to do a recovery house, but they want to rent first to see how it goes. And then if it goes well, they want to take the money back. Go with that plan. I'm all for it. But to just solely, you know, like I say, the Airbnb, if you're segue in, I don't have down payment and closing costs. All right, go rent a property and Airbnb it out. Like my whole thing is like being solution based. So if I can't buy, I'm going to go rent it. But this is a temporary situation. Right. So I can save my money to go buy my own property to Airbnb, because whether it be Airbnb or a regular tenant, it's investment.
I like that.
I do, too.
Let me ask you a question. What as far as real estate investing, stuff like that, for our viewers who watch, what you think is profitable and what you think is not profitable? Because, you know, we hear a lot of things on TikTok in line. I heard you said wholesaling, renting and all this, just for people to gauge. What you think is like the best return on investment?
Real estate.
No.
I know. But for me, I feel like the easiest way is wholesaling, right? That's the easiest way to make money. You don't need no money. You don't need no credit. You just need grit and hard work, and you can make thousands and thousands of dollars. I fix and flip. The only wholesale I did was wholesale the property to myself. But I've never actually done I know how it works, but again, I'd rather flip. I was talking to a colleague of mine and he was telling me he did a wholesale deal. So for these, I don't know if you guys know what wholesaling is, but I go to somebody who's distressed and they like, hey, I just want to sell my property. You know, how much you give me for it? And I say, all right, I can give you 90. But I know in the back of my brain that I can go find somebody that's going to buy, let's for the sake of numbers, 100. I give you 100. But I know, I thought I put my phone on the shirt. I'm sorry, y'all. But I know in the back of my mind that I can go find me a buyer for $150,000. So guess who gets that money in the middle, right? So it took me no credit. It took me no, all it takes is hard work. Going out, hey, you know, are you looking to sell your property? I can buy your house cash. That's all those I can buy your house cash flyers mean. I'm going to put your property under contract. And it don't have to be $50,000. You can go. I was talking to somebody else and they was like, people always looking for the big number. Go make you a quick 10. Go make you a quick 20. Actually, I take that back. I did the two wholesale. But yeah, and I made 10 and I made 7 off another. But needless to say, it took me no credit. It took me no money. All it took me was a piece of paper. And they signed saying that they're going to sell the house to me. And I go assign the contract so that somebody else can buy the property. I'm just the person in the middle that connected the two. Right? So that's the easiest way to get in. My first flip, I bought from a girl and she didn't want me to know how much she made, I guess, because she didn't want to do An assignment. Assignment means you see what's happening in the contract. Mm-hmm. A double closing means they close in one room. Technically, they close in one room and they come in the other room and close with you. You don't know what the money looked like. So I guess she didn't want to know what the money looked like in the middle, but it's public record 30 days later. So I went and looked and she made $90,000. Like, imagine making $90,000 and you had to do no work. I then in turn flipped the property and made $125,000, right? Mm-hmm. But it was contractors, it was permits, it was City of Miami Gardens, it was roof, it had possums in it. It was, but she made 90 and all she did was acquire a contract. So the easiest way, I feel like, is wholesaling. Mm-hmm. The bigger bucks are in flipping. So I was, like I said, I was talking to a colleague of mine and he told me he didn't want to wholesale when he realized he wholesaled the deal and he made 30, but the lady turned around and made, I think he said 200. So I mean, but with flipping, you need credit, right? Because you got to go to a hard money lender to give you the money to be able to purchase this, and they want to see a decent credit score. And then whether you can, you have the option of asking the lender to give you the money. Some lenders give you rehab money. Mine doesn't, but I have a relationship with them, and I just love them. But I need to move smarter. But anyway, you can have a lender give you the money. So if you ask a lender for $100,000 to buy this property, but you say, "Hey, I need $50,000 to repair it." They can give you $150,000 loan, right? So now you take that 50 and you repair it. Now you go and you flip it for 250. You paid them back their 150. You made $100,000 and it didn't cost you any money. So, but you got to kind of have this stuff together slightly, right? Because it's like getting a loan. It's an easy loan. I'm not going to say that. As long as you got credit and they want to see you got some money in the bank, right? So everything is about planning. I always say, like, don't count yourself out. It's like, how can I get there, right? So it's like, hey, I want to get to flipping, but I don't have any money. Start with wholesaling. Stack your money so that you can go to a hard money lender and say, "Hey, I got 20 grand in the bank. Will you help me?" So they're going to give you a loan as long as your credit is good. So now you can get into flipping. Or you may say, "I don't want the hassle of flipping. Let me just keep getting these wholesale deals. If I make 10, 20, 50, I might run across one for 100, you know? So it's just all about planning and where you are in your life. So for me, I want to flip. But because property is so high right now, so it's like, why not sell for top dollar, right? But I could wholesale and say, I can go to a property and say, it's too much. I don't even want to deal with it. And I can make some money and keep it moving. So, I mean, it just depends on what your strategy is.
Yeah, definitely.
And not only that, but I want to ask you, too, about what's her idea when it comes to foreclosure home. If people can't afford to buy a regular home, should they look into buying a foreclosure home because of more cheaper rate or no?
I hate when people think about foreclosure. Like, I just, because it's like this illusion. That doesn't exist. It exists, right? But it just doesn't really exist. Okay, so I say that because, one, if a house gets foreclosed on, it's owned by the bank. The only way for you to obtain a foreclosed property is you get to the buyer before he forecloses and say, "Hey, I need some money to let me fix the situation. We can short sell. We can, you know, whatever it is." You know what I'm saying? So you can't just go buy a foreclosed property. The bank is going to get it, and then the bank is going to decide, one, we're going to auction it off and see how high it gets, right? Or two, we're going to list it as a regular property. And we may give a little bit of a discount, but it's not going to be that deep. See, people feel like, "I'm about to foreclose property. I'm about for $100,000. No, at the end of the day, the bank wants to recoup their money. So they're not going to give it to you. You're going to get it for less. I take that back. You're going to get it for less, but it's not going to be. Like, it's not. So I've sold two foreclosure homes and both needed to be fully renovated, they were trash, needed to be fully renovated. The bank owns both of them, right? And right now in this market, just like everybody else want high numbers, the bank want high numbers. I was on an auction site for a client who wanted a property that was foreclosed and it needed a total rehab. And I don't know where you guys are from, but it's in Miami Gardens. It probably was worth, I want to say 500. I'm watching the bid go up and up and up and up. I think it went to 625. That house was not worth 625. Bank owns foreclosure. So just like everybody else want high numbers, the bank wants high. So I just feel like, I know people go, "Oh, I'm going to get a foreclosed property." The only way that works is if you intercept the person before they actually foreclose on the property.
Free game. I got another question.
And if you know anybody that is about to foreclose, they can quit claim deed you over the house. You can pay them out of foreclosure. You can do a short sale. There's strategies now. But you got to find the people before. It's people that walk around and knock on people's door that they know are losing their property and say, "Hey, let me save it so that I can buy it." So it's not something that a realtor does, though. Like, it's not readily available. Oh, these foreclosed houses for sale. It doesn't work like that.
Okay, what about your thoughts on tax deeds? Because, you know, that's another big thing they talk about on TikTok, YouTube. Mm-hmm. They're selling courses on it. Like,
to be totally transparent, I don't know much about tax deeds. And the only reason it turns me off, I like fast money. I'm not that big. And tax deeds is like you paid today, but you can't even force foreclosure for like 3 years. And it's kind of like, I mean, I know time flies, but that's just not my thing. So I'm honestly not that versed on it. All I know is that you can buy, pay somebody taxes, and chances are it could pan out. Maybe it won't. You know, you may be able to force foreclose, or they sell it and then you say, I think it's a cap on how much you can, like, if, like, say for instance, you pay somebody taxes for $1,000. I think it's a cap on how much you can be asking for them to pay you back once they sell or want to get it back in good standing. I think it's like a 10% cap or something, yeah, if I'm not mistaken. So it's like, for me, it's not lucrative enough for the headache, but I mean, it's strategy. I'm sure TikTok has got it figured out, just like everything else, but it doesn't excite me. So now, man. I mean, you got those rare cases now where you can get a whole house from somebody not paying their taxes, but I don't have a ton of those. But so.
But I ain't gonna lie, Miss Brown, you're giving out a lot of good information.
A lot of game.
Most of the questions I want to ask you, but you kind of already answered already because you're so much good.
The comments is on fire. The comments is on fire.
Yeah. Hakeem, there's any question in the comments?
No. They was on fire. They was on fire. We got some listeners. But Miss Brown, if you was in my shoe, what questions you think I should have asked?
Yeah, like, you know, I just want people to understand that acquiring real estate is not that hard. Like, I know we create this beast. It does take grit, dedication. It takes making a plan. It takes, like I said, however you decide you want to get into it, make that plan and stick to it. And don't sit around waiting for the market to crash. Because even if it fluctuates, at some point it's going to go back up, right? So I just, like I said, it may not always be the best time to sell. Like, next year, you may buy a house this year. Next year, it might not be the time to sell. The price is not where you need it to be. But I can guarantee at some point it'll be the time to sell. And even if not, you leave your kids, like, you leave a legacy behind, right? So for me, my biggest thing is don't let it defeat you before you even try. Regardless of how much money you make, regardless, like I said, you can go out there and wholesale some deals to get down payment money. Like, you got to go. Like, honestly, we're in a world of the have and the have nots. Either you want it or you don't. The world is not waiting on you. You got to go out there and get whatever it is that you want. And you may say real estate is high, but so is gas, so is groceries, so is everything. So therefore, are you going to just get left behind because I'm a single mother and I only make X, Y, Z? What are we going to do? Like, we can't sit and cry about it. The world is not waiting on us. Especially if you got kids looking at you, like, the world is not waiting on us. So we got to do what we got to do regardless. And it's not just real estate. Everything is in play. So you got to get with the times or you get left behind, period.
So that means a lot of people who's preaching this, being by, they say they need to go find them a good husband. Or
no, they
wife.
Don't. You can do this by yourself.
No, don't say that. Brown, don't say that. Listen, Brown, please don't say that.
Listen.
Buzz.
You can't be out there looking for something that you're not yourself.
Roz, work with me here. Roz, work with me. Roz, work with me. Please, just work with me here.
You gonna be great, she gonna be great, and then y'all find each other.
No.
Remember how I came? I said the man need to have two. I said the man need to get married quick so you can find four.
Listen,
you know what I mean?
Listen, for all my brothers at Jeffy Lube, Valvoline, who pushing carts at Walmart, go get you that nice looking lady who's working at the driver license office, who's sitting behind the counter. You know what I mean? Yeah.
How about you go get your homeboy and say, let's put our money together and let's do a flip. Let's go invest. Let's go do something.
You know, that's true too.
We're great in numbers. Let's go. Okay, this is going to be our house that we live in. But let's patch up and go buy an investment property.
Roz, you're 100% right. I like that you say that. And we should lean more to that. But, you know, an averaging nigga in Miami don't want to invest with no nigga.
They don't. But you hang around the wrong people. You got to change.
You know what I mean? Don't get me wrong. Go ahead. If you call me up and say, let's go to the strip club, we out there in rows. You know what I mean?
But you got to change your circle.
No. You're 100%. Listen, we always talk about investing. We have a a Marcus Garvey mindset here. Do for self, building for self. We're trying to teach kids how to make self, but unity is the only thing we can get. But there's a division, and this is why our counterparts here in Miami live a little bit better than us.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And listen, a lot of people don't want to agree with it. And I'll give an example and tell me if you agree. Next door for me, it was a family of Hispanics came. It was like seven
of
them.
We all can live together.
Oh, Lord Jesus.
We can't.
Listen, one of the sons had his wife. She's in there. She had two kids while living in there.
Mm.
Went and bought it. The mom and dad, because my parents speak Spanish. So they was explaining. The mom and dad helped the son and the daughter go buy another house.
Mm.
Then another brother came and moved in.
Yeah.
We, as Black folks, we can't do that. You know, women look down at men who live with their mamas. I'm gonna just hold my breath on that. Yeah. Black women look down on men who live with their mamas. They don't care.
It depends, though. It depends.
It's a cultural thing. So let me ask you a question. If my Hispanic brother can bring him his beautiful wife in the house, had two kids in the house while the mama was in the room down the block, while the mama was around the corner.
It depends on the plan, right? The greater plan. Are we just here with no plan of evolving? Like right now, they said right now, in order in our real estate market, in order for people to afford the houses down here, like, we got to be willing to live together as family. But it doesn't have to be a forever thing. We could ride this market out. Like, you know, we all put our money. I just sold a house and four people's names was on the house. We all put our money out to get this house. And guess what? When we decide to get this equity, we could bust it down. Or guess what? I'm going to buy you out because you want to go buy your house, right? But this is what we're going to do temporarily,
yeah.
Right? So It doesn't always have to be a bad thing. My whole thing is, what's the point?
But check this out. Not everybody has a hustling mindset. We have a lot of worker in. So just...
But you got to have workers, right? So the world wouldn't be the world if we didn't have workers.
So imagine somebody who works at Walmart, who his income is going to be that income for the rest of his life. So you know he's going to be a fixture in that house. What does he say?
You got to want more. Like, it's okay to be in that situation, but you have to want more. Like,
no, I get it. But you and I know we live in Miami. You have a very luxurious job. Most people don't have luxurious jobs. So this is the reason why a lot of us are still in
so many ways to go legally. It's so many ways to go get it.
I
even started dabbling in trading. And I'm like, why are they not teaching these kids this stuff? They be on the computer all day.
I saw
my niece's link. I said, learn this. I'll help fund your account. Like, it doesn't make... I have a college degree and I'm not pushing that on none of my kids. If that's what you decide to do, or you want a career that, you know, requires that, I'm going to back you. But to keep saying college, I don't even think I talk about college on my kids. My daughter asked me the other day, you know, I got to go to college. I said, not if you don't want to, but you got to figure something out. Like, we're not going to just sit here.
Yeah,
we don't know what's the plan. But you see, YouTubers making all this money. It's so many ways to make money that doesn't even require you going into debt for student loans. Like, it's like I said, wholesaling a loan, you go out there, put some sticks out there, I buy houses cash, and you just be out there calling the phone that we already have. So, right. I mean, it just requires you putting in the work. If you're not willing to put in the work, that's a whole different type of character.
I like your energy, Rosby.
I do. Fact.
I like your energy. So I don't know what more to ask you. You done killed this show two times.
She did.
Yeah, she done killed this show. She done killed this.
And Jordan, they've been killing it.
So our two favorite episodes are gonna be Shotwell and Rosby.
She need to be a therapist. I didn't even see that episode, but she needs to be a therapist.
Let me tell you something.
I said, we'll see you the episode.
I'd be like, I need a session.
Listen, I've been having Black men still contact me in the inbox and say, give me that shot well. Give me that shot well. I said, you know what I'm saying? I said, I'm not a therapist. I could direct you to her.
Yeah.
But you know what I mean? But
God-given talent.
No, she does. She does very personable, she has a discernment about her. Just like you, you have a welcoming attitude about you. You know what I mean? And I love it. Does, you know what I mean? That's why I said we praise Black women. We praise Black women because especially the ones who are nice and we prop y'all up. And this the main reason. And listen, it's sadly to say it, Y'all the most who respond back to us to come do an interview. That should already tell you what it is. Just facts. Imagine that. Out of all the interviews, of all the interviews we do, mainly black women come support us.
Yeah, facts.
So, you know what I mean? So when we get women like you or your statue come here and drop game, I want people to support you. I need your information. Drop your links. Let people know where they can come cop a crib from. Roz B. Let them know.
Realtor Roz B on Instagram. I just started trying to do TikTok. Realtor Roz B on TikTok.
Yep.
Rosman Brown on Facebook. What else am I on? I can't do the Twitter thing. I can't keep up with all this stuff. I got a TikTok. But I think that one is Realtor Roz B, but I'm not ever over there.
What about Twitter?
Who?
Twitter.
No, she said she can't.
That's keep what up I said. I can't. I can't keep. It's just too much, and then it's time consuming because you're strolling. Yeah. Days already busy, right? Instagram is enough to keep you busy enough trying to keep up with the marketing. But yeah. Oh, and I have a website, therozhome.com. So you can check me out in there. You can go on there, look at pictures. You want to see my personal life and a little bit of work? That's Instagram. That's where I'm at all day, every day. TikTok every now and then. I am trying to build it up over there because I just trying to build me as a realtor, but I also will be pushing my daughter book bags this summer, jadapage.com. You can donate to the nonprofit organization. You can also purchase a book bag. You can purchase socks. We got fanny packs. We got mini bags. And if you are in the Miami area, we have a summer camp that started on Monday. It's called Jada Club in honor of my daughter. My goal is for it to be as big as the YMCA. And the kids are excited. They love it. That's on Instagram too, @Jada_club. Jada is JADA_club. So
you see, that's what I want to ask you. I want you to talk more about your nonprofit organization and how it's serious to protect these kids and stuff like that.
So the world isn't fair. I read somewhere, I was listening to a podcast yesterday, a lady said, who said that life was supposed to be fair, but I just feel like these babies, you know, she was 8 years old.
Yeah.
So for me, it's about creating a safe haven for the kids. I hear, and I mean, no shade to anybody, but you have these people on these panels who are, I guess, coming up with their so-called solutions that aren't real solutions to the problem. So for me, I don't know how to combat gun violence. To me, I honestly feel like there, as long as they selling guns, there's no way to combat gun violence. But me doing my part is being able to create a safe haven for these kids through our programs. Eventually, I want to do aftercare programs. Right now, it's just the summer. And just making my daughter's legacy, you know, become alive and just showing people, like, you know, when you do something like that, you know, you don't really, you not only affect the person that is no longer with us, you affect so many people. You know, I don't know how to explain it to my daughter. I don't know how to explain it to my niece. I don't know how to, you know, I don't have the words. All I can say is auntie don't know, mommy don't know, you know, but we have to somehow figure out how to cope, move forward, keep her memory alive, be able to be there for other kids. We were able to do our first toy drive at Golden Glades Elementary. The goal was to make sure every kid went home with a toy. I went back with more toys. So that's how many toys we had. And we put enough toys for every kid to have a toy. And all I can think about is how my daughter would be so proud and excited. And if those kids went home with just that toy, you know, just going out and knowing the story, you know, and I feel like if they know where it came from and where it derives from, you know, maybe they'll think twice before they pick up a gun. You know, if they know the story and they understand everybody has a sister or a cousin or a niece or a daughter, you know, and just truly before you decide to do something like that, you think twice because you heard about Jada or you see Jada's mom out there pushing and how much it hurt Jada's family or, you know, and if I'm able to save just one person or, you know, relay this message to just one person that decides to change their mind before they decide to shoot off a gun in the area of some kids, you know, I feel like I've done my job. So for me, that's it for me. Like that's,
you know, I heard with you cause, you know, I'm from Liberty City. You feel me? I grew up in the streets. I lost a lot of friends to gun violence. And I can't feel the same pain you felt. And I know it's immense, especially within the area, you know, like King Carter from those, you know what I'm saying? So it hurts me to hear a woman like you who just to go through something like that. And we talk about this here and we try to definitely talk because you do have people from other communities have a solution for us, but they don't really know the intricate parts of what's going on here.
They don't have a snitch.
They don't. I believe in snitch.
They don't think we exactly, and our community doesn't.
No, they don't.
They don't have a solution.
Listen, I don't mind ratting on niggas.
Right.
Because you want to know why? for the situation you went through with your daughter. I wish I knew who had a pistol before that happened. I'll put them niggas in jail.
But what people don't understand is even the police, like they scare people, they intimidate people. I have people call a hotline. It's like, oh, you got to be wired up to do this. So you got to, like, it's just not built to protect us.
No, it's not. And but we got to protect the babies. And we talk about this here all the time. And I just wanted you to emphasize on that because, you know what I mean? We watch the YouTube channel, but it hurts when we have somebody, you know, we don't know you, but to be in close proximity to hear your story. And it just need to be heard, shared, and to understand that this is very serious and we need to tackle a little bit more. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? I really appreciate you sharing that with us.
Yes.
You know what I mean? In you taking your time to come here, you know what I mean? Because I hurt for you, Queen. I hurt for you. But I also praise you at the same time because you are a strong woman to be able to sit here and say it with a beautiful face. And I think that's just only a testimony to how true God is. You know what I mean? So I appreciate you, Ms. Rosalind, for coming and sharing us your free game and wisdom. I don't know if you have any last words for our guests, for our people.
I appreciate you guys for having me. And if you know anybody looking to sell or
we sending them to you. Fuck all the other realtors. It's op season now.
Send them our way.
It's op season now. Listen, we got a realtor in our bag now. Any niggas we know, any women we know, we gonna send them to you. And listen, niggas, get your money up before you get to her. That's all I'm gonna tell you.
You don't listen. We can talk about a plan. Like, people have to be all the way ready. We can talk about a plan. We can strategize together. We can come up with a plan. I also fix and flip. So if you know any distressed properties that someone does no longer want, whether someone passed away in the house is inherited, whether they're losing the property, whatever the situation, I bought a house with a lady moving into the association. Whatever the situation, please give me a call. I would truly, truly appreciate it. And I'm just excited being great. And I want you guys to know that home ownership is attainable. It may not be easy, but it is 100% worth it.
I know you're gonna have to help me cop. I'm gonna have to come and bring you that 30 bands to help me cop a crib.
Hey, you can do it. You can
do it. We're gonna do business, Ross. Trust me, we're gonna do business. And so, brothers.
But Hakeem, you already know, man, how the things go, man. It's great to have Miss Rosalind on the show, man. She can give us free game. And, you know, I really appreciate it for answering back. You know, as you can see, I know a lot of men, like always, Hakeem and Jordan, they're going to be hearing her up. Who is this woman?
Hey, listen.
How can I get in contact with her?
And then they're going to say that. Listen, somebody just told me, hey, Shotwell keep pretty friends.
That's my girl.
Exactly. But it's so great to have someone on here to give us education and give us free game. I really appreciate her time. I think everybody on this panel appreciate your time, Ms. Brown. And you already know how Hakeem and Jordan. That being said, KR Culture Radio. Cool.
We out.
Peace.
Man, I just appreciate y'all just listening. Stay tuned for the next episode.